Well, welcome. Glad that you're here with us today. Dave had messaged me and asked. We're starting a series, kind of faith in the workplace, and over the next 3 weeks, you're going to hear from different people. They're going to share a little bit about how our faith and workplace kind of interact with one another. What does that look like? How do we live out faith in the workplace? And so I thought that was exciting, and then I found out Dave wasn't even going to be here. And so I thought, I'm going to invite Kaylee back up. Let's just have some fun. We're going to do trivia. And so the ushers are going to pass out some paper, and no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I don't trust you guys enough to tell Dave it was an awesome sermon and hide the fact that we're doing trivia. So we're going to start by looking at this idea of faith and the workplace and kind of some of the things I've learned over the years. And so I want to share with you a few ideas. But before we do that, I want to set that up with a video clip. Now, to do that, I want to make a bit of a disclaimer, only because I know for some it will be sensitive. There's a character and an actor in this scene by the name of Kevin Spacey, and I recognize over the year, last number of years, he's run into some trouble, and so for some that might be hard. And so I'm only gonna I say that just to say to you, if you can get past that and just listen to the dialogue, it's the dialogue I want you to hear in this clip. And to set it up, it comes from a movie about three guys, two seasoned salesmen and a young salesman that's come with them, and they've headed to what I believe is Wichita, Kansas, to a industrial convention, and with the hopes of landing kind of the big whale, the big client. But they don't know what this client looks like. They know his name, but they don't know what it looks like. And so they decide to rent the hospitality suite at the hotel where this convention is being held, with the idea of they're going to have a bit of a cocktail party afterwards. They're going to invite everyone to come back to the room or to the suite, and then you're going to have to put on a name badge. And this is their way of identifying who kind of the big whale is, so that they can talk to him and land him as a client. And at the end of the night, when everyone's left and it's just the three of them, they're disappointed because he never showed up, only to find out that he did. He just didn't put on a name badge. And it's the young guy that had a conversation with him. And it's this dialogue I want you guys to hear that sets up what we're going to look at today. So take a look at this. So how do we interact with our faith in the workplace? He was not being paid by the company to go and talk about Jesus. He was being paid to go and talk about industrial lubricants. And so I want to take a few minutes this morning to kind of talk a little bit about that and share some things that have helped me over a number of years, 30 years or so of working, to understand how my faith and my workplace intersect. Now, to give you some context, I've been working full-time since I was 19. I did a university degree over 10 years at night. Don't recommend that. But I started working full-time. I started working full-time for Dell Computers. If anyone has a Dell computer, I don't know if they're popular anymore, but I started out there as a 1-800 operator. Went something like this: thank you for calling Dell Computers, how may I direct your call? And that was my first full-time job. And I worked there for 3.5, almost 4 years, moved into the customer service, and then I became an escalations manager, which again, I don't recommend, because escalation manager means you talk to angry people all day, every day. Left there, and I stay consistent with my career in choosing jobs that always seem to line up. Went from there to work for a friend who had a steam cleaning business, which seems like a natural transition from the computer business. Worked with him for about a year, and then I left him to go work for Rogers. It was then called Rogers Cantel AT&T, and this will date me. I set up business plans for companies, for their employees, for cell phones and pagers. I don't know if anyone knows what a pager is, but we did pagers. And then I left there and I went work for my father-in-law. He had his own company, and I became a print broker. Anything you could print on paper, I could sell you. And then from there, I transitioned into being a pastor. And you can see the consistency of the different fields. They always seem to line up with one another, and it was a natural progression. Went into ministry, where I youth pastored, and then I became a site lead pastor and a regional pastor. And did that for 22 years, and then it was time to transition out, and then the natural flow from pastoring is banking. And so I went into banking, and I did small business banking, And for just about 10 months, I changed careers like I changed cars. They go quickly. And I left there to go into, again, what seems like a natural transition, banking into landscaping. And so all of these things kind of flow into one another. But these are the spaces that I have found myself in over the years. And so I want to take a couple of minutes this morning and share with you kind of five ideas, key ideas, that have helped me as I've walked in all of these different professions. I want to start by reading a passage, though, to you from Colossians 3, 22 to 24, that I think helps set this up for it. And it says this: "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." There's a lot in that little passage. What it basically saying is, when we are working, we are working for an earthly master, and we're to obey them. They're paying my salary, and so I need to prioritize the things they prioritize. The vision, the mission, the core values of the company need to be things that I do. If I'm in whatever department I'm in, whatever I do, I need to represent that and make sure that I am championing that. And I do that, but I do it to the glory of God, when they're looking and when they're not looking. And I do it because I follow Christ and not man. And so from that, that has helped me in my journey. And so I want to share these five ideas with you. The first one is this: faith gives us identity. We do not have to be defined by what we do. Faith gives us identity, and we don't have to be defined by what we do. How many of you experienced this? And I feel like everyone has. We go to a party, we go to a new gathering, we come into a new church, whatever it is. We meet someone for the first time, and I say, "Hey, Kaylee, is it? Great, my name is Matt." And often a follow-up question is this: "What do you do for a living?" And whatever they say oftentimes then defines who they are in my mind. We put labels on people based on what they do, and we define them by that now. "Oh, you're a teacher? You must be good with kids. We're obviously going to ask you to serve in our kids' ministry at the church because you must love being with children 7 days a week." But we define them. "You must be a great storyteller. You must know how to do crafts amazing." And we define them because they're a teacher. "Oh, you're a doctor? Wow. You must have wealth. You must have money. You must live a comfortable lifestyle. Oh, you work at DeFasco? Maybe you have a high school education. Maybe you don't. But you're blue collar, you're not well versed in the things of the world," and we begin to put labels on people based on what they do for a living. And sometimes we can put those labels on ourselves as well. And so with God, what he is saying is, your identity is defined by me, not by what you do. And when we can begin to step out of that and realize what I do for a living, whether it's in the marketplace, whether it's at home, whether it's my own business, whether it's past, whatever it is, it doesn't have to define who I am. I don't have to feel trapped by that, because I'm defined by who the person of Jesus is. And that's a beautiful thing. When we arrived in Hamilton, my wife and I love baseball. We've played baseball our whole lives. And for a season of time, we played baseball together as well. We played co-ed together. There were some good moments, and there were some moments that tested our marriage. I don't advise yelling at your wife in front of everybody for questioning your authority on the baseball diamond. On paper, it sounds like a good idea, but we played baseball together. And so we wanted to play baseball. We arrived, we were new to the city, we didn't know anybody in Hamilton. We submitted our names to a league, and it was a fairly competitive league, and so we put our names in, and we got a call, and we joined a team. I went the entire first year of playing with this team never telling them what I did for a living, because as soon as we say what we do, they put you in a box, and I didn't want to tell them I was a pastor because I didn't want them to put me in that box of who a pastor was and what they thought of Christianity and the church. And so I got creative. "Well, what do you do for a living, Matt?" "Counseling. And weddings, funerals, things like that." Or I'd say things like, oh, I work with non-for-profits, helping them fundraise money. I provide volunteers. I organize volunteers for groups in the city. And you come up with all these creative things, not ever lying, because it was part of what I did, but I didn't want to label it pastor, because I wanted to get to know who they were without them putting me in a box and therefore behaving a certain way because of who I was. So I made it about a year before I finally said, well, I'm a pastor. And it was awesome, though. I went on to be known as Padre in the league. Actually, one men's team I played on, we changed our name to the Padres, which was fun. But through that experience, though, and them allowing to get to know me and me not being defined by my job, they got to know who I was. And through that, I've had a chance to do probably a dozen weddings of people I've met through the baseball league, not even on my own team. I've done some funerals. I've sat with couples in crisis. And it's provided this amazing experience. And from it, we've developed some of our closest friendships of people that have become so dear to us and built such a long history with. But I didn't want my identity to be identified with what I did. I wanted to be identified in God. It says this in Scripture, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us." For we are God's handiwork created in Christ. That's where my identity is. My identity is not in what I do for a living, where I work, what role I have in that job. My identity is in Christ. And when we can find our identity, then it changes everything. But when we find our identity in work, then success will go to our head and failure will go to our heart. Our faith gives us new identity, and without it, we will sink, because then we are measured by our successes and our failures. And so that's the first thing I've learned that has helped me kind of walk this faith and workplace environment, is that my identity is in Christ, not in what I do. Second thing I want to highlight, faith gives our work and roles worth no matter how big or small. When we have faith, then the work we do has worth. So often we look at others. We do it even in the church. We can use the church as an example, even when it comes to volunteering. The best, the biggest, the most worth in roles, well, you'd be part of the worship team, you're up front and leading us, be the pastor doing the teaching. But the person that maybe preps the coffee, that's, you know, and we begin to rank things, and we begin to see some things as held up higher than others. When I first started my career and I worked for Dell Computers, my worth, based on what the world saw, was down here. I said, "Thank you for calling Dell Computers. How may I direct your call?" This guy said, "How many servers do you want me to sell you? And let me let my boss know I just did $1 million sales." And he is praised, and I am not. I directed that call to him that got him. No, I'm just. But when we find and we look at the person of Christ and we do it for his glory, if we go back to that first passage that I read to you, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes are on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord." When I can do my job with sincerity and reverence for the Lord and for the glory of God, then even the smallest task that the workplace, the world, or whoever deems less important has such worth and meaning. And I do it with excellence. Psalm 103 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." We are important, and when we realize that we're important to God, then what we do becomes important and has meaning and worth. Not because the world sees it, but because Christ sees us. And so I say to you, no matter what you do, when you have faith, then it has worth. when we don't have faith, we leave it up to the world to define, and suddenly we find what we're doing doesn't have worth. Or what we have to do or have been asked to do, we don't see it as worth, and so therefore I don't do it to the best of my ability. I kind of give it half my energy, half my attention, quarter of my abilities. And so what God and what faith has said to me is, no matter what the task is, make sure that you do it fully. And I would say to you, in whatever you do, when we see that it has worth, and we see that Christ and his hand is in it, then I would say to you, make it the best thing that your workplace or wherever you are has going. And that will speak about the person that you are. If I can be the best 1-800 operator, the one that people say, hey man, that guy that took my phone call, he was so helpful. It speaks to who I am. And we have, and that speaks to who Christ is. And so the second point is, when we have faith, it gives our work worth. It gives our role worth, no matter how big or small it is. And we don't leave it up to the world to define it. The third thing is faith provides a moral compass for which to measure our work against. Having now worked in a number of different fields, I've experienced different things and had to navigate different experiences. I remember when I was at the bank, I was in small business. And I had worked with this small business and got them a number of different things and able to purchase some equipment and kind of have a healthy line of a credit and what have you, set it all up, and it just took months to do. And there was something that I didn't know that I had to do at the beginning. And it was just a commentary in the notes that would then set us up for a larger bonus or recognition as a branch. And so my boss said to me, I'm going to need you to go back, insert those notes, but do it in such a way so that it looks like you did it originally. And I said, but I didn't do it originally. He said, I know, but I just need you to do that. And I said to him, I remember saying to him, I can't do that. It sucks, but now I know for the next time, but I don't feel like I can do that. And I remember him saying to me, hey, I get that you're religious and it probably is an issue for you, but that's the game. And I need you to play the game. And there was a lot of other reasons why I left, but that was one of the ones where I'm like, hey, I'm not built to play this game. And so faith gives us this moral compass. This was really, this helped me in that situation because of an experience I had when I was a lot younger. I had a friend growing up named Steve. And Steve and I went to the same church together. We grew up in the same youth group together. We were friends. He was a very hard worker. He went off to Waterloo University. I'm going to guess engineering. I can't remember, but that seems to be the university for engineering. Went off there and then ended up getting his dream job in New York City. He always wanted to work in New York City. Got his dream job, went off to New York City. And if anyone knows me, it's a bit of a joke. But I'm a 30-minute radius friend. If you live outside of 30 minutes, probably not going to be friends anymore. Nothing against you. It just takes a lot of work. So Steve moves to New York City. We weren't friends anymore. Oh, I just lost contact. He's off in the big city doing his thing. And I remember he returned 5 or 6 years later. And not for a visit, like he returned. And it was just strange to me. Like, you had your dream job. You were working in New York City. It was busy. It was bustling. It was your thing. And I remember asking, why are you back? And this is the story he shared with me. He says, Matt, the company I worked for decided to form a partnership with Playboy. And he said, now, the partnership with Playboy and what we were doing with Playboy had no impact on my department, no impact on my role. We would never come into a position where we would touch that part of the business. But Matt, my moral compass, my Christ journey left me feeling uncomfortable. And so I had to resign from the company and move back home to do something different. And it was because of his moral compass, his faith with Christ, that said to him, hey, this is not what I want for you. And so he had to step away from that. And I remember being like, That's a lot of money you're walking away from. Are you crazy? And it really challenged and taught me something. Romans says this, the mind governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. The mind governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And Steve had so much peace about his decision. There wasn't a single part of him that regretted making that decision, that went, oh, why did I give that job up? He walked away with no remorse, no regret, anything. And I think it's because of his faith in the workplace that helped him make that choice and be able to move past that. And so faith provides a moral compass for which to measure our work against. When we are asked to do something, we want to hold that up to our faith and say, hey, does this check out? Does this add up? Can I do this feeling good about who Christ is in me? Fourth thing, faith shapes our character. Faith will tell people who you are. More than words, how we live, how we walk, tells an even bigger story. That same boss that asked me to do something that I wasn't comfortable doing, I remember he used to talk to women differently than he talked to men. Women were there, but they weren't as important, they weren't as smart. And this was well known. We talked about it as a staff team all the time when he wasn't around. Nobody wanted to be mentored by him. Nobody wanted to really listen to who he was. It was unfortunate that he was our boss. And people looked at him and his character differently because of that. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. How we live while we're at work, how we walk, how we talk, how we behave speaks volumes to who we are. And if how we walk doesn't match up to how we talk, people aren't going to care. But people are always watching. They're watching us. As soon as I say that I go to church, that this is my community, that I'm a Christian, they're going to watch you. They're going to watch how you behave, how you talk to people, how you interact with customers and clients, all of those things. And we have an opportunity because faith gives me character. It gives this list of things for which, if I act out, are going to speak volumes to who the person of Jesus is. And they're going to open us up to questions and opportunities and conversations. And so I think it's important to know that faith shapes our character. Whenever I left somewhere, and I've obviously left many places, I always wanted to leave being able to say, hey, they could say I wasn't the best at that job because I just didn't have the skill set or I couldn't figure it out, but I never wanted them to be able to say, that guy mailed it in. That guy, we're so glad he's gone, the way he talked about other people. That guy, you know, the person who he was, we're so glad to have him. He was not healthy for us. They can question my abilities because maybe I'm not skilled in that, but I never want them to question my character, question who I am. And so faith helps shape our character. My faith with Christ shapes who I am and how I behave. And finally, the fifth one is faith gives us hope. If you thought, hey, I want to get into the justice system so I can bring about change, or I want to get into healthcare so I can help heal people, or I want to become a city planner. We all notice this right now because of all the streets, but so I can bring transformation to our city. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be met with frustration after frustration after frustration. We have these hopes and dreams, and workplaces can crush them. Can crush them. But when I have hope in Christ, He renews our strength each day so that I can go back. And we're able to see the bigger picture beyond just what's in front of us right now. And so hope Christ and faith gives us hope. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. My faith gives me hope. And so when I go into work and I am frustrated and disappointed and I'm let down because it didn't go the way I wanted it to go, it didn't flush out the way things should, and it leaves me frustrated and angry, and it can rob us of hope. And we say, why am I even bothering? Why am I even doing this? It makes no sense. Nothing's going to ever come of it. And so I'm just going to pack it in. And that's what the world can do and what the workplace can do. It can pound us down and pound us down to the point where we go, it's not worth it anymore, and I'm just going to walk away. But my faith gives me hope to go back every day and try again and try again and try again. Great example of this, and maybe this will offend some of you, I don't know. I had a friend growing up, because I don't even know if it's popular anymore, but I had a friend growing up, or a youth pastor actually, that stepped away from ministry to do this, who was into Amway. I don't know if anyone remembers what Amway is. It's not a pyramid scheme. It's really done. No. But I had a friend who was into Amway, and he always was after me, you got to come to our big rally. You got to come to our big rally. So finally, I said, okay. And so we went to Cleveland, Ohio, for a rally that started at noon and went till midnight. And all day long, they just paraded people across the stage telling their story, telling their story, telling their story. And I wasn't into Amway, but when I left, I was like, yeah, we can do this. And then I left at midnight and drove home. And, and then I got home back into my rhythm and I didn't join Amway. But what it taught me was, if you know anyone who's ever done Amway, you know that the joke is kind of they lose their friends because everybody becomes an opportunity. They want to sit down, and it usually involves a napkin that's pulled out in a restaurant. And if you get one person, and they get two, and it goes on and on and on, and they don't have any friends. And it can be just trounce you and just beat you down and take all the hope out of you that says, why am I even doing this? I have no friends left. I'm spending more money than I'm making. What is the point of this? And then they go to the convention every single month. This happens every month. 15,000 people at the time. And they come away like this. We can do this. Monday morning, I'm going to sign up 5 people in. And they're excited. And I use that as an example because I think it is a reflection of what faith and hope in Christ can be. Work can beat us down, rob us of all those things, but it's my faith and my hope in Christ that allows me to get back up and say, Monday morning, we're going again. I can do this. And we walk into that place full of hope that something different can happen. And that's what takes me back. And so faith gives us hope. And so those are kind of 5 ideas that have helped me kind of this journey of faith in the workplace. Now, we can get into a deeper conversation another time, and maybe the other 2 individuals are going to address us. Is there space to share my faith in the workplace? That's always that spicy meatball that we saw right in that video clip, is when my faith is more important than what I do, and it should be, my faith is more important than what I do, but how do we match that against that opening passage that said, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence. And so if I'm being asked to do something, is it my position to allow my faith and my sharing of my faith to trump that? And I would say to you, when I follow those 5 things, they actually speak for themselves and give me opportunity, where I don't feel I need to start to move conversations in a certain direction. That this film goes on to say, Danny DeVito's character says, as soon as you laid your hands on that conversation and steered it towards Jesus, you became a marketing rep because you were setting it up for your pitch. And so I never want to set it up for a pitch, but I want to allow my faith and what people see in me to speak for it so that then they come to me and say, hey, how come you come in here all the time with such hope? How come you navigate those spaces, those moral blurry spaces, with such conviction? How do you find worth in that task you've been asked to do? I do it because I have faith, I have Christ. And that opens up the conversation for us. And so those are just a few thoughts that maybe can help you as you look and navigate those things. I want to close with two real quick comments that I think for me are important. The first is this, and I noticed this when I was pastoring, because people would come to me and seek counseling. I don't know if they go to you, Dave, or not, but they come to me and they, I just don't know what to do. I have a couple of opportunities, and I've been praying, and I'm just trying to figure out what God wants me to do. Here's what I've learned over the years. God does not care what you do. God does not care what you do for a living, as long as you do it for the glory of God. And so we need to stop playing that game of waiting and going, God, what is your calling in my life? What do you want me to do? Just get in the game and do something, but do it for the glory of God and allow that to speak. I don't think God wanted me to be a 1-800 operator if we're going to look at calling. You know, I did things that just seemed so crazy because none of them matched up. But I did none of them because I felt God called me to them. I didn't leave banking to go in landscaping because I was like, that's where you want me, isn't it, God? You want me to be a Jesus landscape? No, I do it, but then I want to do it for the glory of God. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this that I've learned. People will say, man, you got to love what you do. And I would argue with that and say, you have to love who you do it with. The people you do it with, you have to love who you do it with. Again, and I'll use this as my going out example, in this way they can never fire me. I didn't go into landscaping because I love landscaping. I didn't sit there for months going, Lisa, if I could just get into landscaping, that was the dream job. No, I got into it because I got to be in it with people I love working with, people I love doing life with. And it makes getting up in the morning and going to the place I go to so much easier because I love who I get to do it with. And I get to do it in a place where we can encourage one another with our faith and with our hope and all those things. So I would just say those things to you. He doesn't care what you do. Just do it to the glory of God. And it's, sure, I guess to a degree you have to love what you do, but you got to love who you do it with, because if you love what you do but you hate the people, man, the world is going to beat you down and you're going to become resentful and bitter. And that's not what Christ wants for us. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and the opportunity to be gathered here together. And God, every day we step into different worlds, whatever hat we happen to be wearing. And God, that world can define us by what that hat is. But the beauty is you don't. And we find hope in who you are. And it's our faith that allows us to step into those places and live differently and represent you in a way that they've never seen. And so, God, I just pray for us that as we go into these places, may we find identity in you and not what we do. May we find worth in what we do because we do it for the glory of you, not for the glory of man. God, may our faith help us navigate those waters where people will come and ask us to, kind of move a little bit differently. But it's that moral compass that you've given us that allowed us to stay straight. So, God, we just pray for that. God, we pray for our character. May we, how we live and how we reflect who you are in our lives be seen so that people look at us and say, man, that is a person of character. There's something about that person I need to find out about. And God, I am so grateful that it is my faith in you that gives me hope, not the people around me, not the place I work, not the world that wants to take hope away, but it's you that gives me hope that allows me to see the bigger picture, allows me to see the end game of who you are and what you desire for us. And so we're just thankful. And so God, I pray for these things for each one of us, I ask in your name, amen.